And the outlook for Sunday is for a partly sunny day with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high about 72. We're currently at that point, as a matter of fact, 72 degrees, and it is now 12 noon. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. On our program today, we'll be looking ahead to some performances in St. Joseph and Homer and Muhammad by the Cartoons Community Summer Band. Cartoons, reference to community arts resource based in St. Joseph. We'll be hearing about that program coming up. First, though, I'll be talking with Randall Raymond, who is Director of Jazz Activities and also Director of the Millikan University Jazz Band, who are among numerous groups who will be participating in the Millikan University Jazz Bash at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow afternoon. And we have some selections from the band's brand new CD, including this one, which is called Prime Directive. Thank you. We heard a tune called Prime Directive. It's a performance by the Millikan University Jazz Band, and from their new CD called Veracruz. They and the other bands, jazz bands from Millikan, are going to be playing in the Jazz Bash at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur, 4 o'clock on Saturday. And the director of jazz activities at Millikan is Randall Raymond. He's my guest in this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So is this CD really brand new, off the press?
Yeah, it is. We just got it this week. It takes a while to get these things out. So this is recorded about a year ago or so. So a lot of these guys are still in the band. But this is our latest CD, and we're pretty proud of it.
Latest out of how many?
We've done 4 since I've been director in the last 20 years. We do one about every 4 or 5 years, to use it for promotion mainly, for students, incoming students. But it's a good exercise for our students to get in the studio and record in there just to see what it's like. Some of those students don't get in there much. So as a big band, it's quite a challenge to get, 18 people in one room and record.
Well, I know Millikan has a lot of music business type courses and programs, meaning about the business of making music, as in addition to the business of creating music, if that makes any sense. And I imagine that recording is one of those that a lot of the students get exposed to.
Yes, our commercial music degree is an important dimension of that degree is working in the studio and learning how to record and produce. And so those students get good experience with groups like ours that come in to play and record. So they work with a variety of groups, from big bands like ours to vocalists, to small groups, to rock groups, to folk groups, to whatever. And so they get a wide range of experiences in there.
So I imagine that some of the players in the band have probably been involved in some of those courses and involved in the other end of recording themselves.
Oh, definitely. We have several commercial music majors in the group, and so they were very helpful as we were getting through this process. So, it was nice to have them in there.
So this will be the debut of the CD at your gig on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess you would say that. And I need to point out that the bash actually starts at 2 o'clock, not 4 o'clock.
Okay.
It goes from 2 until about 6, so it's 4 hours at least of continuous music. Somewhere the 4 o'clock time got in there, and it's incorrect. So it starts at 2, ends about 6.
All right. Well, we will be sure to repeat that information a few times here while we're talking. Wanted to hear play another sample of some of the work from this CD. You have a wonderful female vocalist who's involved on at least a couple of tunes. Named Alexandra Manfredo. What can you tell us about her?
She actually sings on only 2 tunes, the title cut, which is Veracruz, and another great swinging chart of Deed I Do. We used her a little last year, and or the year before, we liked her singing so much that we asked her back for the CD, and she's still singing with the group. So she's from Marion, Illinois. I believe she's a sophomore. She just has a real nice jazz style. She has, I don't know how to, it's hard to explain, but I mean, she really has a way of, her swing style, I think, is very, very mature. And I think people will really enjoy her.
Well, I was going to say, not only is her style mature, but her voice is mature.
Yes, I think so too.
Especially
really
if you're saying she's just a sophomore.
Group.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's, rather than try to describe her, let's just let folks listen to her. This is Deed I Do, featuring Alexandra Manfredo and the Millikan Jazz Band from their new CD, brand new CD called Veracruz. Talking to their director, Randy Raymond, here on Live and Local.
Do I need you? Oh my, do I?
Dee-Di-Do is the familiar tune, and it's the Millikan Jazz Band with vocalist Alexandra Manfredo. Randy Raymond is director of the band and also director of jazz activities, also coordinates the brass performance program there, and teaches trumpet, plays principal trumpet in Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. And the Millikan jazz groups are coming together to give a jazz bash tomorrow in Decatur from 2 until 6 at Lock, Stock & Barrel. Who else is, besides the band we're hearing on this CD, what are the other groups at Millikan that'll be involved in the bash?
We'll have two big bands, this band on the CD, and then our second jazz band led by Perry Rask. And we'll also have three of our combos playing. We have the vocal jazz group One Voice, directed by Dr. Steve Wiedenhofer, and the Latin percussion group will play. And then to end the event, we've brought in a bunch of past members of the Millikan Jazz Band, and we're putting them in an alumni big band. We're rehearsing the night before and performing at this event around 5 o'clock. So that'll be a really good group, and we're really looking forward to getting together. And we've got guys from as far back as, you know, in the 70s and through the, you know, decades since. So we've got a good representation, and it's going to be a fun concert for them.
Well, it sounds like it should be fun for them and also for the listeners. Yeah. I've given some play to the University of Illinois concert jazz band here at where WILL is located, and I know from talking to their directors that they've made a big point of using some of the student arrangements and compositions, and I wondered how much of a focus there is at Millikan on that sort of thing.
We occasionally will do that. We don't have any on this CD. We do have a couple arrangements. One, the prime directive is my own arrangement. It's not a student one. And the Veracruz, the title cut, that's actually an arrangement by my son Chris, who is a U of I grad and who's teaching some here at Millikan as a combo teacher and improv instructor now. He got his doctorate in jazz studies over at the U of I. So he did the arrangement of the title cut, which I think is an incredible arrangement, and one of the favorite pieces of the band. But he's not a student either. He's a faculty member, so we don't have any student arrangements on this. And frankly, you know, at our level, we're teaching only undergraduates, and we don't, we don't generally get them up to that level at this point, as they would at a graduate level at U of I. But, you know, once in a while we'll have a student composition, and we try to encourage it. It's not an easy thing for them to do, but it's really really an achievement when they do.
And I assume that you do teach students composition.
Oh, yeah.
And arranging for jazz.
Oh, yeah. We have arranging classes here and composition and all that stuff. They have plenty of chances to get experience with it.
How do you? I imagine that you teach some of those classes.
I don't. I have in the past, but I'm currently not because my load is filled up with other things. But yes, I have in the past, and I probably will again sometime.
And how do you go about teaching arranging? That's probably a more complicated question than.
Yeah, that's pretty complicated. I mean, you have to deal with anything from, you have to know the instruments, you have to know the ranges, you have to know how people write for them, how to write for them. You have to understand, balance and form in an arrangement. You have to do a lot of listening, actually, to see what's been done and how it's been done. I think that's the best way to do it. There are a lot of recordings out there, and you can learn a lot just by listening. So that's what we do.
Well, jazz players in general learn a lot by listening how people play
yeah,
the instruments
yeah.
as well.
That's for sure. You know, before I forget, I want to mention that this bash represents the end of the 50th year of jazz at Millikan. I happened upon this information just kind of by accident the other day, realizing that the first jazz band here started in 1962. Was kind of student run and taken over by a faculty member, And so the end of this year is the end of our 50th year of jazz, and we're one of the first schools that really got into that. I won't say the first, but we were early on one of the first ones, and so we're pretty proud of that. So it's kind of a celebration, I would say, at this bash to celebrate 50 years of jazz at Millikan.
Yeah, that's quite a milestone for anybody to do anything.
Yeah, I know it is. We're planning a celebration next spring to celebrate the first jazz concert. That was done in 1963 after they'd rehearsed throughout the year. And we're going to commemorate it in the spring and bring back some alums and do it up big time. So we're looking forward to that. This next year will be kind of a year of celebration for us.
Is among the ways that you teach jazz performance directing students to particular recordings or particular artists that you'd want them to listen to?
To teach arranging or just
no, just to teach performance.
Oh boy, you know, I mean, we just try and direct them towards the greats, you know, and everybody knows who they are, from Miles Davis to Charlie Parker to Duke Ellington and Louis Armstrong, you know, if you start there, pretty soon you start branching out to people that were influenced by those. And boy, you have a lot of listening to do when you do that.
Yeah, I'm sure so. And I assume that one of the ways in which people gradually develop individuality is you start with the greats, branch out from there, and then you gradually branch out to discover other musicians who sort of match your own taste.
Yes, that's very good. And usually you find that one player, that one person that you really kind of are connected to, and you start patterning your playing after him or her. That's kind of how it works. That's definitely how it works.
Is there such a player for you as a trumpet player?
Oh, I was always influenced by Miles Davis, very much so in my early years and continue to be. I mean, his style was such a personal style that I couldn't get away from it. You know, and other people are just, you know, it's connected to other people, other players. It's very personal, I think.
You haven't been, you obviously have not been influenced by his speaking style.
No, not too much.
That's this crazy gravel voice or had.
Yes, yes.
And as well as pretty salty language besides.
Yes, but
maybe you use
so.
That off when you're not on the radio, too.
I won't say.
It's a pleasure always to talk to you, Randy. Randy Raymond is director of jazz program at Millikan University and also leads the jazz band. They are going to be one of several bands and combos and on other ensembles involved in jazz who are going to be participating in the Millikan University Jazz Bash at Lock, Stock, and Barrel Indicator tomorrow from 2 to 6. And it'll also be the first appearance of the brand new CD of Millikan's Jazz Band. Might as well go out listening to the title track of the CD, which is called Veracruz, which also happens to feature the vocalist we heard a bit earlier, Alexandra Manfredo. And starts slow, becomes a lot more up-tempo, and is arranged by Randy's son, Chris, who is somebody who's appeared numerous times on Live and Local with various groups. Randy, thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
shadows breaking over dreams that have no more to say. If time will pass away for you until and then, I'll wait for you again.
The title track from the CD, the brand new CD, Veracruz, by the Millikan Jazz Band at Millikan University in Decatur. They are participating in Millikan's Jazz Bash at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. And you heard it here. In fact, that probably is the debut playing of any of those tracks from that brand new CD, because it just came out this week. And you heard it on Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Community Arts Resource is based in St. Joseph, and among the activities they sponsor, have been sponsoring now for 3 years, is the Cartoons Community Summer Band, which will be going very shortly, with rehearsals beginning and then concerts happening in St. Joseph and in Homer and in Mahomet and at one location that isn't yet announced. And they are definitely looking for some players. We've got the director of the band and also the president of the board to give us the full court press for recruiting for the band coming up in just a moment on Live and Local. Stay tuned. That was called Bugler's Lament by Red Nichols, and it featured trumpeter, if I'm saying his name right, Jerry Villanueva, from a CD that has lots of interesting tunes on it, including a bunch of variations on Taps and other things. It's called Day Is Done, a music commemorating the 150th anniversary of TAPS, and we have some more music to that effect coming up in this portion of Live and Local, and it all has to do with a group that we've talked about here in the last couple of years on Live and Local called Community Arts Resource. And the president of that organization, Ross Bundy, is with us. And also the well, I'd say most successful of the Arts Resources programs so far, the Cartoons Community Summer Band, car part being Community Arts Resource, tunes meaning music, and then the Community Summer Band self-explanatory. They have had official registrations, or initial registrations, I should say, for the band, and are very happily accepting additional ones because their rehearsals start very soon, and their first concert will happen in about a month and a half, something like that. First rehearsal, actually, the end of first Tuesday in June. So the director of the band is Reverend Chuck Hess, who I simply knew as Mr. Hess when I first met him as a band director at Danville High School. And he has completed that gig and moved on to a different one. So thanks, Chuck, for coming in, and thanks, Ross, as well.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Ross, why don't you give us a rundown on what's happening with Community Arts Resource these days?
Right now we're just doing the summer bands. So we've actually dropped back a little bit on what we were doing before. Unfortunately, we had our director drop out, and we couldn't find a replacement for our director, so we dropped our chorus. But we're hoping to bring it back next summer, but we're excited. This is our fourth year with the summer band. So we have a strong core that's building that we really look forward to that I think will help us to grow and become a really solid organization as we move forward.
You had a jazz band going during the school year for a while, too. Is that
That's right.
Still
we,
happening?
In the spring. We didn't do the jazz band either this year, unfortunately. That director moved. It was Chris Strong from St. Joseph Ogden High School. Exceptional musician himself, and he decided to go to Ball State to continue his studies, and we didn't find a person who wanted to pursue the jazz director position either. So hopefully that'll come back in the next year as well.
So your appearance today can be considered not only a recruiting effort for the band for this summer, but anybody who's hearing this, if you're interested in directing one of
those two
organizations, Ross is the man, and I can easily put you in touch with him. You have a website that has a lot of historical information about the Arts Resource. Remind me, what is that? What's the
It's
address?
Called our name. It's communityartsresource.org. And it has all the information about the summer band, as well as, like you said, some history. Other kind of administrative things that may not be so interesting, like when our planning meetings are, but and you're welcome to come to those as well. Hopefully it's a useful site for everyone.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd appreciate some assistance with that as well. But let's talk about the band. I hope I gave a fair introduction to at least the logistics of where we are in the schedule, but I know you are looking for new players.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, this is your first round.
Yeah, I subbed with the band as director 4th of July last summer. And based on that and some things that had happened, they asked me to come back and do it full time.
Mm-hmm. We're really excited to have Chuck, actually.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we had a good time last summer. So I'm looking forward to it.
Scratching an itch, I think, was how you referred to this when we were talking in the lobby
earlier today. Right. If anybody is listening that knows me musically, having Reverend in front of my name, they'll probably laugh. But it has happened. It's been very cool. But I spent 18 years teaching, but was feeling led to pursue ministry and work through that while I kind of wrapped things up in my teaching career, and was actually ordained last summer. And so, yeah, two very cool things happened last summer. I was ordained and then got to conduct the Cartoons band.
But it's not every minister who does get to conduct bands.
Not that I hear regularly.
And so it's your way to get back in the game, at least during the summertime.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
I know, Ross, you've talked in the past of having some particularly strong sections.
Absolutely.
And I don't remember anymore what the strong sections were last year, and I suppose it's not really pertinent because it's what have you got this year and what do you need this year?
Yeah, so we often have a strong low brass section, but the things that we really need this year are alto saxes. Amazingly, the instruments that are very popular in high school are the ones that we find the most difficult to fill. So clarinets, trumpets, alto sax, and percussion are the most popular instruments in high school, and they're the most difficult for us to find.
Do either of you have any idea why that might be?
I don't know. We have theories we've bounced around.
I'm going to blame Facebook. I think it has something to do with that.
If they're conspiracy theories, we'd love to promote them right here on public radio. So how does one say, hey, I play alto sax, I'd love to be involved in the cartoons band? How would they go about
letting you know? Well, you can register through our website. Also, contact information is on the website. If you fill out the form and hit submit, it'll send an email directly to me. You can communicate that way. So that's probably the primary best way. Also, you could call. The number to get a hold of us is 590-4311. That's area code 217-590-4311. People could call as well if they don't have internet access.
All right. And so those are the instruments they're looking for. You rehearse on Tuesdays.
Yes, we rehearse starting the 29th of May. We rehearse Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8 in St. Joseph. We have a really nice space there to rehearse in.
Is that at the high school?
No, it's actually at a church in the area. But they have a hall that just has great acoustics for whatever reason. And so we really enjoyed working in that space, and they've let us use it for free. So we're very grateful to them. So.
You have four concerts scheduled so far. I mentioned in the introduction that St. Joseph will have one of them, the first one at the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
4th of July will be at the Homer Village Hall. There'll be a midsummer concert. That's the one that you're almost sure when and where, but not quite. So we'll leave that as tantalizingly blank, but it's something that will happen.
Yeah.
And then in Mahomet at the Museum of the Grand Prairie in the middle of August. Chuck, you sent me the programs you've already mapped out, at least, or these may be partial programs, I don't know. What was your thinking, musically speaking, in coming up with the programs you did?
As I was putting this together, when I was at Danville High, you want to keep the audience in mind. And so I tried to select things that that I thought the audience would enjoy. There are some things that can be programmed for a group that the players love to play, but then the folks in the audience maybe don't really appreciate that much. And the last couple of years I was at Danville High, the top band there, we would actually do a Sousa tribute concert. And that was a lot of fun to put together. And so I kind of took from that and basically just tried to put a program together that had a mix of things, but leaned primarily to the patriotic side, because I figure most people in the summer, and especially when we're playing at a 4th of July celebration, it just seemed to work real well. And there'll be we end up repeating. Actually, the back half of the program is pretty much all patriotic. And we'll stay the same from concert to concert, just so we have sort of a set of core songs that we do that everybody know. Hopefully, no matter their level or experience, by the end of the summer, we'll be able to wrap their arms around it and feel pretty good about the performance.
And because you're doing it in four different towns,
right?
It's like being on tour.
There you go.
The piece we played first, the Bugler's Lament, you're going to feature your brother.
Right, my brother Tim, who teaches in the Paxton Schools. And
also a band director.
Also a band director. Graduate of U of I. He was a 10-year Marine veteran before he came out and pursued his finishing his degree here at U of I, and then went on. He was in the Atwood Schools, I think for a year or two, and then has been at Paxton for over 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
quite a while, yeah, and doing amazingly well there.
So he'll be featured as the trumpet soloist in that piece.
Right, does a great job.
You have a couple other recordings here. I mentioned the Taps one. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
Right. The Taps, and to be honest, I knew of this arrangement, and I had done it with my brother. It's an arrangement that is for soloist, trumpet soloist and band, and it's a beautiful arrangement. But then as I did a little bit more digging, the arrangement was done by a gentleman named Thomas Knox, who, oddly enough, was born and raised in Danville, Illinois. Studied music at the University of Illinois, and then was involved in the Marine Corps up until his retirement. And anyhow, has done a lot of wonderful arrangements, and this arrangement of Taps is gorgeous. I'm sure as you'll hear when we listen to it. The other thing is the 2012 marks the 150th anniversary of the use of Taps. By our military. And there's some interesting background on that, but it was actually a General Daniel Butterfield took a bugle call and kind of played around with it. And as the story goes, had the bugler come in and make some notes, and they spent some time working through it. And after about an hour or so, they kind of had come up with what we now use as Taps, and that happened 150 years ago. And
any idea why it's called that?
I do not. It's the Taps came out of a bugle call that was for lights out, or you know, to extinguish the lights, which was you know, okay, guys, time to hit the sack, that sort of thing, and. As the story goes, as Taps was being used not so much as a remembrance for fallen comrades, it just started, everyone liked it. And so camps would send they would hear it and they would send their buglers to learn it. And it just started to spread throughout both the Union and Confederate armies. And the brief story I read was that it was used. The first time it was used for a funeral was during the Civil War, and they didn't want to do any of the typical salutes because they were too close to the front lines, and so they decided just to use this everyone really liked this this bugle call. And so they just used that, and then it was just one of those things that just kind of caught on and has been used ever since.
So it's still used for lights out, but also for a different kind, you know, the permanent lights out. So
exactly, right. But I don't know that it's used so much anymore for, like, the call to, you know. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Time to hit the sack, guys.
Yeah, but definitely used at military funerals.
Absolutely.
Here's Thomas Knox's arrangement with accompaniment. Normally, it's a solo bugle, and here a little bit of a different twist on Live and Local. Short and sweet, very sweet.
Yes.
Both, of course, the original tune and the arrangement of Taps here on Live and Local. Support for our show today comes from the Blossom Basket Florist, with flowers, plants, and creations for all occasions like weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, and, of course, Mother's Day on Sunday, May 13th. Two locations at Cunningham Avenue in Urbana and Village at the Crossing, Windsor and Duncan in Champaign, online at blossombasket.com. And we are talking with Chuck Hess, who's director of the Cartoons Community Summer Band, and Ross Bundy, who's president for a community arts resource. And they are soon going to start rehearsals for the summer band and do have a number of openings. If any of you musicians out there might be interested in playing with the band and have your Tuesday evenings free starting the end of May, then by all means check out the website at communityartsresource.org. Usually one will find it, one or the other will find it, but sometimes you won't if you get it wrong. So .org, and you can get all the registration information and so on, and can look forward in any event to the summer performances happening in June, July, and August as they sort of tour their concert around with some variance from concert to concert. Chuck, there's another of the tunes you brought along for us to sample here called Duty, Honor, Country. Story behind that as well.
Duty, Honor, Country is kind of the title that was given to a speech that Douglas MacArthur gave when he received the Thayer Award from the U.S. Military Academy. And it's the 50th anniversary of that speech. And the I believe it was Harold Walters put an arrangement for band. And it's a little bit like Lincoln Portrait, you know. So they take snippets of this speech and then tie it in musically together. And and one of the reasons I wanted to program that, and again, the whole patriotic thing, you know, we do have men and women serving overseas, and we do, you know, just want to kind of keep this in at the forefront of our minds, and those men and women that go and serve, what they're doing for us. And the as we listen to this, you know, the parts of the different parts of the speech, I think are a great reminder of what all those brave men and women do on behalf of all of us who get to stay home.
Duty, Honor, Country here on Live and Local. Harold Walters' adaptation of text spoken by General Douglas MacArthur, Duty, Honor, Country, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's one of the pieces that will be played on all four concerts by the Cartoons Community Summer Band as they travel around our area in from June through August to St. Joseph and Homer and Mahomet and one location soon to be disclosed as to play on other sorts of things that have gone on. Here, before we hear one other tune that will be on those concerts, a couple of those concerts anyway, here are some other events that are going on in our listening area that you can catch through over various genres of music and other performance, including Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater presenting a show called See How They Run. They're in Goodfield. It'll be tonight and tomorrow at 6:30 for dinner and Sunday around noon for brunch. Rodman, Waite, Palmer, and Hoax are a group who will be performing at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. The Nathaniel Ruiz Trio play jazz at Bouvon's in Urbana this evening at 6:30. At the Iron Post in Urbana, it is the CU Hard Bop Collective Reunion at 5 o'clock this evening, followed by Samba Soul at 8 o'clock. The Great American Trailer Park Musical is presented by Springfield Theater Center at Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight and tomorrow at 8, Sunday afternoon at 2. Twin Cities Ballet presents The Enchanted Ballet, one performance only, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Matthew Curry and The Fury are at Winner's Lounge in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. In Peoria, tonight at 6, it's the Rob Williams Soggy Bottom Blues Band. And Community Players Theater in Bloomington are presenting the musical Hairspray tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with the Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Amasong presents a kid-sized family concert tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Champaign. The Danville Symphony Orchestra presents Carmen to Camelot in the Danville High School Auditorium tomorrow evening at 7:30. And Prairie Fire Theater presents Tortoise and the Hare's Big Race at Normal Public Library tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Lots of other things going on, but that's about what we have time for mentioning on today's show. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. My guests this portion have been Reverend Chuck Hess, who is conducting the Cartoons Community Summer Band, and Ross Bundy, who's president of the Community Arts Resource, which sponsors that organization. And as we mentioned a couple times, they are looking for saxophones and, Ross?
Yeah, we'll take anybody across the board. We'd like to have, because we're pretty laid back, we'd like to have a deep band in case people are gone for vacations or rehearsals. Makes the experience better. So we'll take all instruments, but particularly saxes and the high woodwinds would also help.
The high woodwinds, meaning flutes, clarinets.
And saxes, and alto saxes.
And plus the alto saxes. Well, gentlemen, thank you both very much for coming in. Best of luck with recruiting and also, of course, with the performances. What band concert would be complete? What band concert would not be complete without something by John Philip Sousa? Here's one of his favorites, one of a favorite of his. It's called Semper Fidelis, and it's the President's Own United States Marine Band.